at the end of the book of John, John chapter 21, beginning at verse number 24, we see John giving his concluding remarks after the writing of the Gospel of John. John chapter 21 and verse 24. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now notice this, and there are also many other things. And I think that that's an important phrase, many other things. And maybe you ought to underline that. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. That's an astounding verse, by the way. And that means this, if we'd have had a full-time writer, if we'd have had several full-time secretaries that did nothing but follow Jesus Christ with pen and paper in hand and chronicle every single thing that he did to in some way be a help and a blessing to somebody else. Because this isn't talking about the things that he taught, it's talking about the things that he did. The Bible said there would be volumes. Maybe the world itself could not contain the books. That's pretty astounding when you think of a three-year ministry. Now, I believe this. I believe that the Gospels seem to contain the spectacular moments, the spectacular teachings, the spectacular words. I know they contain what God wanted us to know. I'm just wondering how much of what wasn't written that could have been written was little things. Little things. See, I think that discipling and the ability to disciple and influence people, the ability to do the big things is earned by your willingness to do the little things. I'm talking about Jesus stopping and maybe helping a child who ran out, fell down, and scruffed his knee. Say, that doesn't sound very divine. I think it's exactly that. I think it's exactly divine. I think so many times it's the little things that we fail to understand is what has a big influence on people's lives. I'm going to just talk to you about being a good Sunday school class member. I'm going to talk to you about your willingness or your ability or the power that you have to influence. Some people, and I hope every person in here will take these things and use them for good. You know, a lot of times people that are deceitful, people that are evil, learn the little things and do the little things better than we do. But they do it in such a way to try to gain people's trust and gain influence so that they can take them a wrong way, not a good way. That's why I'm saying that if you understand the power that you have in this matter of influence, the power that you have in this matter of being able to have an impact on other Christians in the church, if you take that as a challenge and make that a part of what you do week in and week out, see, I believe that everybody that walks in the door has a responsibility. Don't forget that what we're... Are you awake this morning? I'm saying a lot of good things, and most of you are just kind of nodding off there. Hello. Welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're good to see each and every one. Welcome to our Sunday School Hour. Amen. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you contributing to the positive environment of this place. I'm talking about you being a part of, when people walk in here, the difference that they feel. I'm talking about you shedding the light of Jesus Christ and letting them see Christ's likeness and a difference in just interacting with you, even for a few minutes, the touch of God being upon you and you sharing that and influencing people. And so let's decide that every single one of us is going to be a missionary right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we're going to reach out to folks that come in and make them feel welcome and try to have a positive influence on their lives. I want to share some things with you that I think are little things, but I think these little things add up and help us in this matter of just making folks feel at home. Now, I'm just going to give you practical things. I'm going to give you some very practical things in interacting and dealing with people. Have you ever noticed that it seems like some folks have a gift of just being able to come up to a complete stranger and befriend them and exert influence over them and help them and win them? Can I tell you this? You say, oh, that's just something you're born with. No, that's actually something you learn. That's something you can learn. And it's just a matter of learning some things. I see people that are good soul winners. You know what makes a lot of people good soul winners? They just know how to interact with people. They just know how to put people at ease. They just know how to do the little things well. Brother Tom, good salesmen know how to do the little things well. Everybody wants to make the sell, but how many of them want to do the little things? And influence people for Jesus Christ, there's so much of this. Let me give you just several things that will help you. I want you to imagine that you're in a Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class. Well, actually, you are. You won't have to imagine that real hard, but let's imagine that you're in a smaller Sunday school class or maybe in the auditorium class and some new people come in. Or some folks have been here for maybe a while and you haven't yet made contact with them. And let me just give you some small things that I think are very, very important. Number one, and I'll start numbering these and I'll quit because I'll lose track. But let me just say this, folks. Learn to smile. I wouldn't want to attend a grumpy church. Yeah. I went and visited Blessed Hope Baptist Church last week. Well, how was it? Well, it was kind of gloomy. Walked in Sunday school class. Everybody just looked like their mother-in-law had moved in with them. And kind of a dark cloud over the whole thing. And preacher would say something funny and maybe three people would grunt. And, you know, when people did look at me, they kind of scowled at me. I mean, you know, do you want to go to a church like that? Then stop being that kind of church. You are the church. If you're happy and you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart, it ought to show on your face. You know, God's gifted us all with the ability to just influence others around us with facial expressions. You can influence people around you with a negative or a sarcastic or expression, or you can let people see the joy of the Lord on your face. When you walk up and greet folks, smile. You know, be happy. Well, I'm not. Well, figure out why not. And change whatever that is. Well, I can't change it. Well, then get victory in the midst of it. You know, I believe this. Curtis Hudson used to say this. Those determined to sing will always find a song. And your happiness isn't based. Your joy isn't based on the circumstances of life. Your joy is based on the condition of your heart. And so let's come to church on the victory side. Let's decide that we're going to greet folks with a smile. Let me give you something else. Learn to make eye contact when you're talking with people. Hey, Brother Jerry, where's all these verses at? We're preaching out of the Book of Common Sense this morning. We're preaching on the little things that Jesus did that I think if you followed him around, why he had influence and impact in this world. Learn to make eye contact when you talk to people. Learn to stop, greet somebody, look them in the eye, spend a few minutes, talk to them, ask questions, make them feel at home. You don't have to spend an hour, but a few minutes is important. So make eye contact. Let me encourage you to do this. Ask people how they are and really want the answer. People, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? And they buzz by you. What do you mean, how am I doing? You didn't even stop so I could tell you. How you doing? I want you to notice this. It's a gift. Most people, when they ask how you're doing, they don't really want to know how you're doing. They want you to say something real quick so that they can then tell you how they're doing. If you don't believe me, if you're ever not feeling well, try to share that with somebody. One of the most humorous things in the world is trying to share so with somebody. Someone says, how you doing? You know what? Man, my lower back's been hurting a little bit. And their next statement will be, you know what, I have back trouble too, and my elbow's been
And you know what? I've had a headache all week long, and you know, Susie's been sick, and you know, and you know, and you know, and you know, and I'm thinking, why did they ask me? They didn't want to know. They wanted to tell me how lousy they feel. You know, ask people about their lives and be genuinely interested. Just find out about them. Talk to them. Spend some time genuinely asking questions and find out a little bit about them. Let me give you something else. These are practical things. Try to build relationships with other folks in the church. Now, I mean within the boundaries of good and godliness and holiness. Build relationships. Folks, listen, let's not all be hermits. Let's not just casually, quickly interact with people and then never give another thought the rest of the week. Let's take some time to find out their names. Let's, from time to time, see if we can find their address. Let's send them a little, hey, it was great to see you in church last Sunday note. Every once in a while, a quick phone call. Hey, how you doing? Man, it was good to see you last Sunday. Man, it was great to have you visit our church. I mean, take a little bit of time. Reach out to people. Now, what I'm giving you is all of these things are a result of a mindset. Are you coming to church just to be ministered to, or are you coming to church to minister? Are you coming to church just for others to serve you or for you to serve them? Are you coming just to take, or are you coming to give also? And so much of making people feel at home and feel apart. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. I don't think any contemporary, liberal, non-gospel preaching church ought to be friendlier than Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have the truth. We have the truth. We ought to look happy about it. We have the truth. We ought to want to share it. And so, reach out to people. Genuinely reach out to people. Let me give you this, and I want you to be careful with it. But don't be afraid to pay people compliments. You know what that is? That's called just being nice. Now, there's a difference between flattery and compliments. The Bible warns against flattery. You know what flattery is? Flattery is saying something nice to somebody with an ulterior motive. You're not being nice to be nice. You're being nice because you want something. You're being nice so that you can gain their trust, so that you can take advantage of somebody. That's what flattery is. But you know what? The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. And you know what? Kindness, a lot of times, is expressed in our words, just in our willingness to say something positive, to say something that's true, to say something that's complimentary to somebody else. And again, always make sure those things would be said within the bounds of holiness and right and purity, and let not your good be evil spoken of. But don't be afraid to say something nice to someone, to compliment someone. Let me help you with these other things. When you're in a Sunday school class, and you have other people in your Sunday school class, if they end up in the hospital, or if a family member of theirs ends up in the hospital, go see them. Go see them. Well, I thought that was the preacher's job. Well, I'll go see him too, but you go ahead and see him also. Now, I understand we've got to be careful. Sometimes there are circumstances. You do have to use a lot of wisdom with hospital visits. Sometimes there are circumstances when the doctors are asking that there not be a whole lot of visits, depending on the severity of it. But I will say this. People remember who takes the time for them during the difficult times in their life. I was telling our Master Club workers there this past Wednesday. I said, you know, if you've got somebody in Master's Club, and they come to you and say, my mom is in the hospital, you ought to go see mama. Well, yeah, I thought Master's Club was just for an hour on Wednesday night, or an hour and 15 minutes on Wednesday night. You can treat every ministry around here like that, but you're not going to have much impact on people. You know, people are going to be
impacted. But listen, they don't want to hear how much you care. They want to see how much you care. And so, why would it be beyond the realm of our Christian duty to go see somebody else in the hospital? Hospital visits, people that are going through crisis times, reach out to them. Find out. Somebody's in the hospital. That family might need a little help. You can offer. You can offer. Come up and say, can we throw some stuff in a crock pot and bring it by? Would that help out a little bit? Many of you in this room have done that before. Many of you in this room have had somebody else do that for you before. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. That's an encouragement. Hospital visits. Funerals. Like I said, people remember who was there during the highs of their life and the lows of their life. I think we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And that's what I think that verse means, is when people are celebrating things, you ought to join them in the celebration. When people are grieving over things, you ought to join them in the grieving. That's part of being a family, a church family. If somebody loses somebody that's close to them, take the time. Well, Brother Jerry, I can't go to the funeral, then go to the visitation. Take the time. You know, I was thinking in my, and I'm going to preach a little bit about this morning in our Sunday morning message, but I was thinking about this. Most times, the doing of good is an inconvenience. Most times, the doing of good is an inconvenience. If a person gets to the point where they don't ever want to be inconvenienced, you're not going to do much good. Because by the very definition of doing for others, you have to lay aside something. You have to take time that you could have done something for you. And so, again, let's make sure that we take the time for these important things. Well, I just had so much going. Well, guess what next week's going to be like? Guess what the next week's going to be like? I keep telling my wife, you know, when it slows down around here, she laughs. She says, you've been saying that for 13 years. And it's not going to slow down. But sometimes you just have to take the time. And so, make a point. Let me just say this as a general thing to our church. Don't miss weddings. And don't miss funerals. If you're part of this church family, then that family that's celebrating, you ought to be a part of it. Don't miss wedding showers, ladies. Don't miss baby showers. You know, you're still holding a grudge against the ones that didn't come to yours or your grandkids, but you won't go to everybody else's. I like it when people get a little nervous. This is good for us. You can shift around a little bit. That's good. You settled in. You'll be all right. Honestly, shame on you. Shame on you. Well, if it's somebody in my little clique, then I'll go. Shame on you. What a wicked way to live. What a wicked way to live. You know, that causes division. That causes schisms in the church. I understand sometimes we're providentially hindered from attending something. I understand that. But a lot of times we're not. We're just lazy. You know, people are celebrating the birth of a child. Remember how big that was in your life? It's big in their life right now, at this moment in their life. I'm talking about reaching out. I'm talking about making a difference. I'm talking about impacting people. You see, folks, what I found out is this. If you do all these little things, when you have to deal with the big things, people will take it. But if you haven't done the little things well, you have no business trying to... You won't... There's one thing I told Brother Reiser. I said, Brother Reiser, when I hired him, I said, Brother Reiser, if you don't
do the day in, day out little things with our young people, right? When you want to go correct something, you're not going to have any influence whatsoever. And it's true with everybody. And so do the little things well. These big moments, these low points, the high points of people's lives. Now, again, I'm not at baby showers, I'm not at wedding showers, and I'd like to just stand here and thank the Lord for that for a moment. I don't come to the hen parties, amen. That's good. But I don't keep an attendance record. I don't know who does and who doesn't. I don't. My wife comes home, I don't say who was there and who wasn't. We don't have that conversation. So now I can sit up here and just talk. But I'm just saying, this is part of being a part of a church. You know, I'm aghast in the last few years at how poorly weddings are attended here for our people. I'm aghast by it. I'm aghast when funerals, people don't take the time. Visitation, they just don't take the time. I mean, folks, that's called common decency. To go by and try to be a comfort to somebody who's lost a loved one. You don't pay somebody to do that for you. You do it. Amen. This is good. I'm talking about making a difference. I'm talking about having influence, having an impact on people's lives. Take the prayer request that we share. Let me just say this. There's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for each and every one of us to invest in each other's lives just by taking seriously the shared prayer requests. I like what we've done here. I do. I love being able to every day have a prayer list that I can pray over that at the most is 3 or 4 days old of God's people that's come in and said, I need this prayed for. I love that. I don't pick up the papers at the back because of me and pieces of paper are easily separated. I don't do that. I have them, and let me just give you this. We haven't said it in a while. Not only can, when you leave, you can pick up the paper of the prayer requests that are turned in all throughout the day. Tonight after the service, you can go in, and all the prayer requests that are turned in today, you can take home with you and pray for people in the church. But also, we have Sunday night and Wednesday night both, my wife, before she leaves, goes back in the office and she emails the prayer request to anybody that's turned in an email address. That's how I get them. You say, well, Brother Jerry, your office is here. I know, but it's a long way from back there to my office. One of the first things I do every morning is check my emails, print off what I need to print off, delete most of what's, you know, the junk. But I get that email, and I print it off, and I lay it beside my computer, my workstation, and several times every single day, in the busyness of the day, I'll glance over and stop, and it doesn't take very minute long at all to pray down that list and stand in intercessory prayer for God's people. And you know what? When a praise report comes across this pulpit, it brings me great joy. You know why? Because God answered my prayer. I was part of the group that was praying for that. And so, share prayer requests. Men, as you meet with your prayer partner, share prayer requests. Something wonderful about sharing prayer requests. Share a burden for lost family members. I think one of the things that I try to do, and I think I do a pretty good job of this, is when I'm praying through our church membership list, at least the ones that people have made aware to me, Brother Jerry, I have a lost mom or a lost dad or grandma, grandpa. I've got a brother that's unsaved. You know, that's one of the things that I have written beside my church membership list is lost family members. And I think that from time to time, when you learn of somebody that's praying and got a burden for a lost family member, to walk up to them at church sometime and say, hey, I want you to know I'm still praying for your uncle to be saved. I want you to know I'm still praying for your brother to be saved. I'm still praying for your mama to be saved. That has an impact on people. They don't forget those things. Let me just say this. and I want to be careful about this, but I also want you to be tender. Pastor Ross preached an incredible message here to close out our preaching conference, but I think at time to time we need to also be aware of each other's needs. You know, a lot of times God's going to make you privy to a need of someone else in the church because He wants you to meet that need. And when He does, do it. If you can, do it. Don't be afraid to invest in people. Don't be afraid to help people. Don't be afraid to be a blessing. If you get an opportunity and there's some new folks who have come to the church and it works out where you can do it, take them out to lunch. Yeah, take them out to lunch every once in a while. Have them over to your house for dinner. We've built fortresses. We don't have on our front and back door, do not trespass, but we might as well. I think we've forgotten Christian hospitality. Reach out every once in a while, especially to folks that are new in the church, and try to build positive, good Christian relationships. And reach out to somebody. You know, men, let me just say this. I think one of the most wonderful things that I love to see is just a visual blessing to the pastor here is our pastor's prayer team and the men that meet together and pray before services in different parts of the church. I think I've taught this in our teaching on prayer, but if somebody shares a prayer request with you, one of the best things that you can do is stop right then and say, let's pray about that right now. For one thing is this, are you like me? Somebody catches you on the run. Brother Jerry, I want you to pray about this. I'll say yes and I'll mean it and I'll intend to, but I have so many things on my mind, there's a very good chance if they don't hand it written down to me, I'm not going to remember to do it. Now the wonderful thing about praying through the church membership list is a lot of times while I'm doing that, that's where the Holy Spirit jogs my memory about somebody who asked for special prayer. But let me say this. I think one of the best things to do is somebody asks you to pray about something, pray about it with them right then. If you've got the time to do it, pray. Well, Brother Jerry, but we're standing in the foyer. Yeah, of a church. Yeah. But we're standing out on the front step. I don't think anybody coming and going to the church would think it would be a strange thing to see two Christians in the act of prayer in front of the church house. I mean, if it starts as big time, we may have to put an end to it. We don't want it to become rampant where people are standing around praying, you know. But I think so many things that were probably normal Christianity in the book of Acts, you know, Paul and Peter and James looking down and say, you know, as much as the Bible says about prayer, Jesus said that his house should be a house of prayer. How come everybody talks about praying, but so few do anything about it? How come there's so little real prayer that goes up? So Jerry, would you pray about this? Yeah, let's do that now. Just take a few minutes and pray for people. That makes a big impact on them. Let me say this. From time to time in the relationships that you have with other people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, can I just suggest something? From time to time, you're going to say something to someone you shouldn't say or do something to someone you shouldn't do. It's called being human. Let me tell you, one of the most important things you can do to help our church, when that happens, go back and apologize. What a concept. Christians having the humility to say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I mean, Pastor, over the years, you've seen it. I've been amazed at what Christians will do to keep from saying, I'm sorry. I'm amazed at what Christians will tear up in a church just to keep from saying, I'm sorry. Guess what? I'm going to blow it sometimes. You're going to blow it sometimes. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit's pretty good about a little bit later on tapping on my shoulder or my heart and saying, hey, ding dong, that wasn't the thing to say. Why, you know, if we're such good Christians, then why is it beyond the realm of even our consideration to think the thought that we ought to automatically have? I need to catch that person next time I see him and apologize. Can I say this, folks? So many things in a church that the devil uses to make hay out of, he'd never have a chance to do it if we'd exercise just a little Christian humility. So, don't be, you know, leaders, those of you that lead, those of you that are in positions of leadership in different areas, you're going to blow it. Let me say this, if you blow it publicly, you should apologize publicly. I'm talking about you blow it in front of the school kids, apologize in front of the school. You blow it in front of the Sunday school class, you ought to apologize in front of the Sunday school class. If it's individual, then take care of it individually. You don't have to come up here on a Sunday night and draw the whole church into it. Just go one-on-one and take care of some things. And I mean, I'm talking about the thing the Holy Spirit's reminding you about right now. I'm not talking about the next time. I'm talking about the thing that the Holy Spirit will remind you about right now. And at the same time, let me say this. If another Christian does say or do something that they shouldn't do, and they don't come and apologize, be big enough not to make a big deal about it. What, you never had a bad day? You never said anything you shouldn't have said? You never done anything you shouldn't have done that you probably should have made right? I don't know. I just don't understand this walking around with a grudge list. I'm not going to live that way. 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 I got too much to do. It's too important for me to keep my heart right with the Lord. There's too many. I want my prayers answered. I've got too many important things to think about. I'm not going to sit around with a bunch of junk against other fellow Christians and just carry that around. I'm not going to do it. Now, if you want to live that way, you know, God bless you. I'm sure you're happy. No, you're not. You're miserable. I'm just not going to do it. You know what? I'm just gonna give people the benefit of the doubt. Cultivate a merry heart. I'd rather be around happy people than grouchy people. Cultivate a merry heart. Have a sense of humor. Use your humor to amuse, not abuse. Be careful what some of you call a sense of humor is not. It's a battering ram. Honestly, be careful. You know, sometimes we think we're being funny. If the only time you think you're being funny is when you're putting somebody else down, then you really ought to re-examine the type of humor that you're using. And I understand. Friends can get by with some things, and that's fine. Everybody knows it's in good fun. But even then, you need to be careful. Fix problems. If there's a problem you can fix, fix it. Show respect. And let me just give you this last thought and we're done. We've got about 30 seconds. Separate the sin from the sinner. Somebody does something. Somebody says something. Somebody does something that's wrong. I'm not against you hating the sin, but never hate the sinner. Thank God, God figured out how to separate the sin from the sinner. Thank God God can be a holy God that hates sin but still loves Jerry Ross, who's a sinner. Now, I've just given you a whole list of very practical things that come from some years of experience in the ministry and fixing problems and influencing people and trying to bring along folks. And I hope it's been a help to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use what we have covered. Help us to make a difference in people's lives. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, even in the morning service, God. Lord, if there's someone here that's without Christ, I pray that today they'd be saved. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.